land.
Did you see Victor's work?
The yard.
Come on, guys. Oh, it's just not guys, it's just guy. Are we on? Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Of all the debt in the world, and all of your debt, the greatest debt that you have is religious debt. It matters not whether you're religious, whether you're an atheist, which time in history you existed. Because, you know, the Romans 9 we studied talked about there are only two vessels. We're either vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. And the vessels of wrath are the vessels of religious debt. And the religious debt are all of the innumerable and insufferable how-tos. This is how you do this. This is what you do to get that. In my opinion, the greatest enemy that exists in time and space of mercy and grace is cause and effect. And that is the definition of the religion of Babylon. And we are so steeped in that religion that we can't hardly even see our way out. How to? How do I do this? How do I do that? You've heard, you know, when Daniel talks about this, remember, there's the 60-cubit high idol, 6 cubits wide. It's made to appear as if we're gold, but it's really brass. And everybody in the kingdom has to worship it whenever they get a certain signal, and that signal is a need or a situation. The moment you hear that, then your mind automatically goes to what do I do about this? How to? And it's the religion of the universe, the religion of time and space, of every man that exists. And that debt of how to is so subtle that it's almost impossible to even talk about. We go back to Cain and Abel. Both of them thought they were making an offering to God. Cain tilled the soil. Abel killed the lamb. Abel's offering was accepted because it was the type of the cross and the mystery of Christ. Cain's offering, he was forever thrown out of the garden. In his essence, he was forever thrown out of the New Jerusalem. And he wandered alone. Now, we are so steeped in cause and effect that it's almost, it's everything. It's the way your mind works. And God is bringing us to a point where we cannot in any way ever again rely on cause and effect. Does anybody disagree with this as the predicate for religious debt? Do you understand what it is?
Had a moment of compassion for Cain, where he really worked hard. Just for understanding.
Just for other people's benefit.
Well, for mine, too, because it's like you can relate to how sincere he was, and he worked hard, and he grew the plants, and it was time for the offering. He goes through the whole process and makes the offering, and it's not acceptable. He's pissed.
You can relate to that?
Of course.
Why do I despise it and hate it, and you can relate to it?
Can't you relate to it?
No.
You've never worked hard and disappointed?
Well, of course, before I was a believer.
So now you can't because you're a believer?
It's a stench. It's pure evil.
I guess this is maybe you or something. I can relate to how disappointed Cain must have been to not have his offering accepted. I can understand that. I don't buy into it, but I can understand it.
All right. Well, I want you to get to the point where you so despise it that it's a stench in your nostrils, so that there's no subtlety, no attractiveness whatsoever about cause and effect.
Yeah.
That's my role.
I can't get past it if I don't understand it. So.
All right. Well, let's see if we can do this. Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, I believe John stood at the side of, whether it was a sea or a lake or something, but he stood and he saw a reflection of himself. And he saw that he was this beast. If you can't understand that, then don't listen to anything else I'm saying. And the head, and again, upon each of the, upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. It's the constant blasphemy, to deny the foundation. That's what blasphemy means. To do something other than to lean on that rock. To do, this is, boom, this is what I do about that. This is how I deal with this. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, you can believe that this is somebody that's coming out of somewhere in 10 nations, European, blah, 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 if you want to. But I believe this is a picture of each one of us. And I saw as it were one of his heads. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And that's, he saw the head that was wounded to death, and it was Christ overcoming that, the seed of woman overcoming the serpent in Genesis 3. Amen. You buy that?
Yeah, I mean, it all ties in to me because it's so God's ways are not my ways. I can't see without my way being destroyed.
And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. There's not one man or woman that has ever lived that hasn't wandered after the beast, because that beast is their own mind, it's themselves, their own identity. Now this will get you killed if you talk about this too much. What? They think they're wandering after the beast, but in verse 4, they're really worshiping the dragon. The moment you worship yourself, the moment you give breath to yourself, that's all worship means, is to give breath to. The moment you give any thought to self, you're worshiping the dragon.
It's the intoxication.
And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. This is the whole deal with Martin Luther and the illusion of free will. Free will is the great and subtle universal deception. There's only two wills in the universe, the will of God and the will of Satan. The will of God is self for others, laying down your life. The will of Satan is self for self, self-realization. You understand. They worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's all of us. We think that we're bulletproof. We think that we're and there was given unto him a mouth. The beast had a mouth. It's your mouth, my mouth, all men's mouth. Speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And that's that mystical 3.5 years. We don't have to study that now, but you can study it later. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. You gotta kind of feel this. I don't even know how to describe it, but it can't, because revelation is always true. It's over all of time. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so you have to expand the tent pegs to see it, instead of just thinking in terms of little short instances of time. All right, let's just skip down to Revelation 13. That 13... 11. Well, let's not do that. We'll go ahead and read it. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's why our dwelling is not on the earth. Your dwelling is, your mind's dwelling is the earth. But your true identity, you're seated with him in the heavenlies on the mercy seat. All that dwell upon the earth worship him. As long as time and space are your habitation, then you by definition will worship him. It's not that you shouldn't, you will.
There are no options in the scriptures. It's just the description of two different environs. One time and space, one eternity. What?
Well, I was thinking how the religious man would take this and then try to not do cause and effect. Try to not.
Well, let's see what that's what we're going to see. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And we have to go down to verse 14 to understand that verse, chapter 14, but anyway. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he still spake as a dragon. Now this is the religious beast. This is this thing. Well, anyway, we I don't want to spend all day on this part of Revelation. But can you get religion, so you have two you look like a lamb, but you're still crap. All right. Now the name of this, there's only two. There's the bride and the whore, the vessel of wrath, the vessel of mercy. The bride of the vessel of wrath, or the whore. The whore is this. Go to Revelation 17. Verse 3. This is all about Babylon. 17 and 18 are all about Babylon and the destruction of Babylon. But unless you see, and this is this angel that's showing all this, unless you see that this is taking place in you, again, judgment must first begin at the house of God, then it's this, again, this is just philosophy. And in 17, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They're all, and again, they're drunk with the wine of her fornication here. In Isaiah 28, they're drunk with the wine of Ephraim. Both of them are drunk with the wine of self-seeking. It's so enticing. If you don't know what I mean, then you haven't lived. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, the same beast he just saw in 13. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. That cup in her hand, it's this constant. It's you think it's the sweet wine of the sweet ideas. I'm sorry, Gary. The sweet ideas. The drinking of this cup, because it gives you this feeling of empowerment and what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And upon her head was a name written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Great astonishment. And And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. And the beast thou saw was and is not, and it shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, and here is the mind which hath wisdom, the 7 heads are the 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, this is where, that's where I've, the woman is sitting on the 7 mountains, the 7 high places of your mind. And she's directing it, all so that you will continually wander after the beast. You got it? Now let's go to Revelation 18. I encourage you to really get into this. I would love to spend about 2 years just studying the book of Revelation, you know, where we could get together but it gets too disjointed when you try to do it in little pieces at a time. But 18. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, until you see that as your mind, you're going to continue to try to comprehend the mystery of God with your mind. And you'll continue to have these great ideas and thoughts and for all the nations, or all the people, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not on her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. It's come out of the whore. And this isn't a Catholic church, or it isn't this, or it isn't that. Like, everybody's got an idea. It's all of us. And you commit, you drink of the wine of her fornication every single time you rely on how to. Instead of, it's God's good pleasure to give his people all things freely, instead of waiting. Now you can't have both. You can't live in both worlds. Some of you have tried for many years to live in both worlds. You can't. I mean, he could cause it to happen, but then that would violate his humility. He cannot occupy where you are or where the whore is. Now, the whore is constantly here. One goal is to cause you to continue on in your name and your identity. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked with together with unbelievers. Now that doesn't mean all this crap you hear. you know, about, well, you shouldn't do business if somebody isn't a believer, and therefore we should start Christian businesses and Christian Yellow Pages. Well, they do. They have them.
Do they really?
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
It wouldn't let us in.
No.
We got kicked out.
Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You've got to come out of all of cause and effect. And it's not the world's cause and effect. It's the cause and effect on these seven mountains of your mind, the seven high places. That is, it never stops until you just dismiss it, until you give it absolutely no credence. As long as you give any part of what your senses tell you any credence, then you are committing fornication. We must be in that total 100% moment of dependence for everything. Anybody hear me? Do you understand today, just this one day, no cause and effect?
Says Babylon the Great has fallen.
It has to fall in you. That's the point. Otherwise, it's just, you know, it's just like you go visit the New Jerusalem and then you go run right back to Babylon. Because I promise you, the debt of Babylon is so great it cannot be paid. Let's go down and still in 18. Go back to Revelation 18. No, go to Revelation 12 first. I'm sorry. We studied this the other day. Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole earth, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is why. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, so that you overcome this idiot, you. And every time you excuse your mind, you excuse the whore. See that a little bit, Gary? What?
What I was saying a second ago, though, was in hearing what you're saying, the two-horned lamb said to me, "That's what we're going to do today. We're going to repent each time this happens." And then this whole time thing we talk about all the time. No, now Now is it dependent on? I'm not going to worry about what happens today because it's a time.
The reason that is Isaiah 64. God says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait on him. And Paul paraphrases that and says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared to them that love him. And so, from the standpoint of the mystery of God, waiting is intimately connected with love. And it's intimately connected with this, the moment there is, if you have a choice between options, you do nothing. You wait. You do nothing, no matter what it appears to be, no matter what anybody else thinks about it. In fact, no matter if it may cost someone else, you wait. Because eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait. But if you have options and you don't wait, then you're drinking of the wine of the wrath of the fornication.
When you play out scenarios in your head, you're not waiting.
Nope. That's a child playing tiddlywinks or dolls. Any movement in that in the brain is just. And again, I'm not asking if you haven't fully come to the end of all of this other stuff. Then don't pay attention to what I'm saying. You got a whole lot of stuff to do before you can hear this. But if you still believe that your mind, you can solve, you can do, your opinions are important, your ideas are vital, then go have at it. But if you know that you know that you know, all human effort is vanity and emptiness, especially my own and your own, then this is the only answer.
What you just said there reminded me of the day we talked, or evening we talked about this this call to action and riding forth on a mighty steed with a sword as if to conquer and really just be a fool.
You know, that's another part of Revelation. But cause and effect is the religion of the world. Commodifer, my people. Anybody have any questions? Any response?
Just one response was, we always talk about deny yourself and the waiting, but then the deny of self, that was an excellent picture of self's activities that we deny. That's what it looks like.
Abandon.
Abandon.
One quick one. Go to Matthew 6. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Unplug that, please.
You cannot serve God and men.
Or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon. Now what is mammon? Mammon is a Chaldean word. It wasn't Greek or Hebrew. And it means anything that you have confidence in. That's worked for you before. And the only reason cause and effect has the appearance of working because it works in a very limited environment. And so your whole basis of life up to this point has been mammon. Because you've learned to have confidence in this set of activities in order to get this result. And it works in this limited time frame. But it doesn't work when you take and you expand the tent pegs to the edge of time and space. It doesn't, has no place in eternity. As long as you want to live in time and space, then play with cause and effect all you want to. But do it quickly. Now, therefore I say unto you, because of what he just said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You read modern translations, it says, don't be anxious. It doesn't say that. It says, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Now, if you don't take what you eat or drink or clothing, then there's a principle in exegesis that says, if those are the basic things that are required for life, then you can't take thought for anything else. You understand that? Is not the life more than meat, and the body more raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's why now is the accepted time. Amen? Any thoughts, Miss Josanna? Response? Musings? Anybody else?
Abba Father is
Abba Father. Amen. Take a big guy.